Go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We are looking at the gospel according to Luke, and it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to throw two words at you, okay? And they're two words that we probably don't like, but I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning to exchange those words, okay? So let me just go ahead and throw these two words at you. Worry and fear, okay? Did anybody come in here with any worries this morning? Did anybody come in here with any fear this morning? If you did, you are normal. If you didn't, you are not normal. Isn't that cool? So those of us that sometimes worry and those of us that sometimes are overwhelmed by fear, we're the normal ones, okay? That is a normal thing in this broken world, okay? So I just want to assure you of that. If you came in here this morning and you are worried about something, if you came in here this morning and you're afraid of something, you're fearful of something, it is okay. It's not okay to camp out there. It's not okay to live there. So this morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity through the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to give you an opportunity to exchange those words. I'm going to give you an opportunity to exchange your worry and your fear for trust and confidence. Trust and confidence, all right? So let me start off with a question. What are some of the things that you worry about in this life? Think about that right now. What are some things that it's easy for you to worry about? You know, as parents, we worry about our children all the time, don't we? And guess what? That don't change when they turn 27 and 25 and 21. That doesn't change, right? Some of you got, you know, children that are 35 and 45 and 55, and it doesn't change. I wish it did, but it don't, okay? So we worry about our children. We worry sometimes about work. We worry about our jobs. Sometimes we worry about our finances. Sometimes we worry about the report that the doctor has for us, the tests we've had done. We worry about our health. Well, there's a lot of things that we can worry about in this world, right? Sometimes if we go to social media or if we go to the news stations, we are tempted to worry about this world that we live in. We're tempted to worry about the political landscape and the government landscape and the catastrophes, the hurricanes, and just all of those things. We are tempted every day to worry. And here's the thing. Satan would love for us to stay worried. He would love for us to go to bed with worry on our minds and in our hearts, and he would love for us to wake up with that worry still there, and he would love for us to go out throughout our whole day with worry on our mind and in our hearts. Let me ask you another question. What are you afraid of in this life? What are you afraid of? Well, like, what gives you fear? What causes you to fear in your heart and fear in your mind? And you might even say, well, Brother Jeff, it's those same things that I worry about. See, what I find is that worry and fear are like cousins, right? They're like first cousins. Sometimes my worry, right, will lead me to be fearful. And sometimes when I'm fearful, all I can do is worry. So it's amazing how those things are so closely related. I love what Dr. David Jeremiah says. Dr. David Jeremiah, you know I'm a word guy, and so I want to give you a definition of worry, but I want to give you Dr. David Jeremiah's definition first, okay? So Dr. David Jeremiah, this is what he says worry means. He says worry means to divide or to rip apart. It means to pull in opposite directions. And isn't that what worry does? Especially to those of us who are Christ followers, those of us who are in relationship with God, we know what God's word says. We know who we are in Christ. But what does worry do? It divides us from the truth. It pulls us, right? It pulls us away from what God says to us. So I love that definition. But also, the Cambridge Dictionary, which I have one of those on my desk if you ever want to borrow it. But the Cambridge Dictionary says that worry means to think, I love this, to think about problems or challenges that might happen. Ooh, now we're getting into it, right? To think about problems or challenges that might happen in a way that makes one feel frightened. To think about things that might happen, and it makes us feel frightened. How many of us fall into that category, right? We worry about things that we can't control, and we think something might not go our way, or something might not work out, right? It might not happen, and so what happens? We get scared. And we start to walk in fear. We start to walk afraid. And so I believe we're going to see that in the Bible today. We're going to see in Luke chapter 12 that as Christ followers, in this life, we're going to face challenges. We're going to face struggles. And in this life, right, in this life, there's going to be worry and fear. But we don't have to walk in it. We don't have to camp out in it. We don't have to live in it. See, as Christ followers, our lives should not be defined by our worry or by our fear. Instead, our lives should be defined by trust and confidence in God. People ask me all the time, Brother Jeff, why do you always share 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10? Why do you want people to know who they are, whose they are, and why they are? Because you're going to be tempted to forget. And when you forget that you are a child of God, when you forget that you belong to God, then you forget that He is always with you. And you forget that He is going to provide for you. And when you forget about God and you forget about who you are and you forget about your purpose in this life, which is to glorify God, that's when you will camp out and you will live in worry and in fear. And that is no place for a Christ follower to live. Because I'm going to tell you something. You can't shine the light of God's glory when you are living worried and fearful. You cannot. It doesn't happen. The only way you can shine the light of God's glory in this life is by trusting Him. By placing your confidence in Him, regardless of how loud this world is and how it screams against you. Trust and confidence. I told you, you would have the opportunity today. If you walked in here with worry and fear, you'll have an opportunity to choose today how you walk out of this place. You can walk out with that worry and fear and good luck. Or you can walk out of this place today knowing who you are in Christ Jesus, and you can walk out of here knowing that God is in control and you are His child and He has you. And there ain't nothing that this world can do to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That is Romans chapter 8, by the way. I ain't making this up. Okay, that's Romans chapter 8. So, here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at a gospel conversation that Jesus has with His disciples. And I believe it's a conversation we need to hear today. You ready? Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 22. Verse 22. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry." That's three pretty powerful words, isn't it? You want to know? You don't know what makes those words powerful? It came from the mouth of Jesus. It came from the mouth of Jesus. He says, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more important than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens." They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the wildflowers, how they grow. They do not labor nor spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more, right? How much more will He clothe you, right, of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. And He says it again. Do not worry about it. Do not worry. For the pagan world runs after all such things. And your Father knows that you need them. but seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. What an awesome, awesome gospel conversation that Jesus has with his disciples, and I believe that Jesus wants to have with us today. Because I'm going to tell you, I believe every single one of us in this room, we walked in here with some kind of worry. Now, minor, major, in between, I just believe we walked in here with some kind of worry. I believe, if not all of us, most of us probably walked in here with some kind of fear, something that is lingering out there in front of us, right? And it's causing us to get distracted. It's causing us to get discouraged, even maybe even feel defeated. Well, I'm going to just tell you something. Jesus, he says, do not worry. And this is a command from Jesus. Let me tell you again, Christ followers, this is not an opinion or a suggestion. Jesus is commanding you as his child, do not worry. That's what he's doing. This is not a suggestion. This is a command from the mouth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I believe with this command, we see a couple of truths unfold about Jesus. Number one, Jesus knows me. He knows me. He knows me better than I know me. He knows you. He knows exactly what is on your heart and what is on your mind. He knows exactly what is affecting you in this life. He knows that some of the effects of the fallen and broken world we live in is worry and fear. He knows that we're going to be tempted to worry. He knows that we're going to be tempted to live in fear. And so Jesus, he points out two areas of worry in this passage, okay? He points it out, food and life and clothes and the body, right? That's just two of the worries that he points out. Now, I don't believe Jesus is downplaying the fact that our bodies need food. I don't believe Jesus is downplaying the fact that our bodies need clothing. He is making sure that we remember who God is and that we remember who we are in him. That's what he's doing. See, I believe that God created us in his image. Read Genesis chapters 1 and 2. We are the only ones in all of creation created in the image of God. Would you agree with that? So let me ask you a question. Do you think that matters? I think it does. I think that does matter. God created us in his image. Not only that, if you keep reading and you get into Isaiah, and I'm not going to quote all those scriptures, okay? But if you get into the book of Isaiah chapter 43, what you will find out is that you were not only created in God's image, but you were created by God for God. Amen. You were created by God, for God. You are not an accident. You're not. Listen to me. You are not a problem in this life. You're an image bearer of God. And you were created by him, for him. And you were created with purpose, and that purpose is to glorify him with your life. It really is that simple. Somebody asked me this the other day at a school that I spoke at, and they said, well, what about where I work, and what about getting married, and what about where I go to school? Don't those things matter? They absolutely matter, but that's not your purpose. Your purpose is to glorify God whether you're married or not. Your purpose is to glorify God no matter where you live on this earth. Your purpose is to glorify God whether you're driving a tractor in the middle of the field or at a bank behind the counter or in a hospital doing surgery. Nothing separates you from the purpose that God has given you. All of us have that common purpose. We were created by God, for God, and our purpose is to glorify him with our lives. Amen. Isaiah chapter 43 makes that very clear. Very, very clear. Not only that, you just read the Gospels. Jesus makes that clear too. And so I believe what Jesus is saying is here, he's saying, don't forget who you are. Don't forget who you belong to. And so he gives us this command, right? Don't worry about the food. Don't worry about the clothes. But it goes beyond that. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. And when he says don't worry, he's saying don't stay in worry. And don't let worry determine your steps. Don't let worry define who you are in this world. You let God do it. And then he gives them a very good illustration, right? He talks about the birds, and he used the word ravens. Do you see that? Ravens are unclean birds. They're unclean. They're dirty. And he says, if God gives them food, how much more is he going to give food to his image bearers? And then he talks about the flowers, right? The wild flowers, not flowers that were planted by me and you, right? Me and Marty went to the store yesterday and bought some beautiful mums. And so they're so pretty, and I put them in a pot, and I'm going to water them. I'm going to take care of them. He doesn't even talk about those. He talks about wildflowers that just pop up. And he says, if God clothed those flowers to be more beautiful than Solomon, who had everything this world has to offer, how much more will he clothe you? In other words, God is going to meet your needs. I mean, should we be concerned? Yes. How could we not be concerned? How could we not, right? In this broken world, because we're in an imperfect world and we are imperfect people, how could we not be impacted and affected by worry and fear? It's impossible. But we do have a choice in how we live our lives. We don't have to live in worry. We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to choose that. We can choose to believe what God says. We can choose trust. We can be confident that when God says it, he will do it. How many promises has God broken? None. None. He never has and he never will. You want to know why? Because God is faithful. Again, that's not my words. Go read the letters first to Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy. So I want to ask you a couple more questions. Number one, do we believe that we have value from God? Do we believe that? Because that's really what it boils down to. Do we believe that we have more value to God than the birds and the flowers in this world? Because I'm going to tell you, when I camp out in worry and when I camp out in fear, what I'm saying to God is, I'm not worth it. I have no value. I have no purpose. That's what I'm saying. When I stay worried, when I live worried, when I stay fearful of this world and what could happen to me in this world, what I'm saying is God ain't big enough. You say, oh, brother. No, that's what we're saying. If we don't believe that God's got us, what we're saying is, God, you can't. Now, you may not want to hear that, but if you're living fearfully and you're living worried and you're not bringing glory to God, right? If you're not bringing glory to God with your life, then you don't believe God can. There's only two directions to go here. You either believe or you don't. Well, I'm in the middle, then you don't. I'm kind of straddling the fence. You know what Jesus says about straddling the fence? I ain't going to tell you. You go find it. Go see what Jesus says about straddling the fence, about having one foot in and one foot out. You either believe or you don't. So do you believe that you have value? Because here's the thing. If you don't, then why did Jesus die on the cross? If you don't believe you have value in this life, listen to me. It ain't about your mama and your daddy. It ain't about your job and the people you work with. It ain't about the teachers in the classroom telling. No, it's about what Jesus says. Jesus says, I love you. I love you enough. You are valued enough that I will take your place. I will take your sin upon me so that you can stand in my righteousness before God. Don't tell me you don't have value. You do. Jesus says you do. Not just with his mouth, but with his life. Let me ask you another question. Do you believe in the provisions that God has for you as his child? Do we believe in the provisions that God has for us in his child? Listen, we're studying the book of Exodus now on Wednesday nights. We were on Sunday nights, but now we're on Wednesday nights. We're studying the book of Exodus. And I'm not going to preach the book of Exodus to you, but you know when the children were moving toward the promised land, they got into this place called the wilderness, and they didn't have any food with them. And guess what they were worried about? Guess what they were fearful about? We're going to die in the wilderness because we ain't got nothing to eat. Anybody remember reading that? Okay. What were they tempted to do? They were tempted to believe that God didn't love them. They were tempted to believe that Moses was a mistake and that what he did was a mistake, and we would rather go back to Egypt and be slaves. And since we haven't gone back, what we're going to do is we're just going to die out here in the wilderness. And what did God do? He provided manna from heaven. Don't tell me God can't. God can. God can. If we're not careful as Christ followers, what we'll do is we'll embrace God's grace and mercy and forgiveness for our sin, and we'll embrace the gift of eternal life, but we will carelessly dismiss God's presence and provisions for us day to day. Well, when I die, I know I'm going to heaven, but man, I'm going to suffer in this life. You might suffer in this life, but here's the thing. God's going to provide. Even in the midst of your suffering, God's going to provide. We live in a broken world. We live in a dark world. We really do. But here's the thing. Jesus said, let your light shine. That's what he said. Let your light shine. See, you have light within you. If you're a child of God, the Spirit of God indwells you. And you have the light of Jesus Christ inside of you. And you can't shine that light of Jesus if you're constantly worried and constantly fearful. I wish somebody else could preach this message because listen to me, I ain't exempt. I ain't up here holier than thou. Even this week, an opportunity came my way, okay? And I was tempted to worry about it, and I was tempted to be fearful about it. And we were driving along, and I told Marty about it, and she said, You don't think God can do it? You don't think God can do it? That's what she said to me. And I'm sitting there going, why would I doubt God? Why would I doubt what God can do in my life? And I prayed about it. And then later in the week, somebody that had no clue what I was tempted to be worried about and fearful about said something to me and said something to me that went, you know what, God? Brother Andy sings a song. You're bigger than I thought you were. Somebody had no clue what I was worried about, what I was fearful about, said something, and I walked away going, you're bigger than I thought you were, God. We're tempted to doubt, aren't we? We're tempted to be worried and fearful, and we're tempted to stay there. That's why I believe we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded of who God is. We need to be reminded of who we are. We need to be reminded of his word. See, as Christ followers, we should set our hearts on the kingdom of God. We need to remember that this life is not all. But boy, we sure live like it, don't we? We sure live like this is it. This is it. This ain't it. This ain't even a piece of it. This is only a mist or a vapor of the life God created. Do you understand that God created you with eternity in mind? Again, that's scripture. You were created with eternity in mind. Not just this little place called earth. You were created for heaven and for heaven's glory. And so you're going to be tempted to think this is it. And then when things ain't working out, you're going to be tempted to worry and be fearful because you think this is it. This ain't it. As Christ followers, we don't belong here. We belong with him. We are sojourners. We are travelers on this place called earth. Are we to make the most of the time God's given us here? Absolutely. That is scripture as well. Go read the letters of Paul. Make the most of every opportunity you have, especially when speaking to others. But here's the thing. We got to set our minds on heaven. We got to set our hearts on heaven. We got to be kingdom-minded people. Kingdom-hearted people. the kingdom of God. You know what brings me more worry and more fear? The kingdom of me. I'm just being honest with you right now. When I worry and fear, it's about me. When my heart and mind is on the kingdom of God, you want to know something? I ain't real worried. And I ain't real fearful. You want to know why? Because God is God. See, in my kingdom, I'm in charge. In my kingdom, I am little G-O-D. And that's what causes the worry and fear in my life. It's because I was never created to be a God. I was created to be his ambassador. I was created to be his witness. I was created to be a vessel of his glory, a vessel of his grace, a vessel of his mercy, a vessel of his love. And when I get out of that, that is what causes me to worry. That is what causes me to fear. Just as God set his children apart, the Israelites, from the Egyptians, I believe God is setting us apart today. And our lives should be marked by two words, trust in God and confidence in God. Our lives can't be marked and defined by worry and fear because those are marks that define this world. And so be careful what you're worried about. Be careful what you're fearful about. Listen to me. Let it go. Give it to God. And see if he won't give you something else. Trust and confidence. Jesus finishes this gospel conversation in verses 32, 33, and 34. And now he says this, right? He said it twice in the previous passage. Do not worry. Well, look what he says right here. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Be afraid. That is a being verb. You know what that means? That means living in constant fear. Don't constantly be fearful. Don't live in fear. And he's not talking about the fear of God here. He's talking about the fear of the world, the fear of life. He says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Now, that's good news right there. I love Dr. Tony Evans because he talks about the kingdom man. He talks about the kingdom woman. He talks about the kingdom disciples. He talks about the kingdom of God all the time, and I'm glad he does because it's an encouragement to me. He reminds me every day, hey, Jeff, you're a Christ follower. There ain't no kingdom of Jeff no more. It's the kingdom of God, and that's who you are. You are in the kingdom of God. He's been pleased. That's what Jesus said. He's pleased to give you the kingdom. And so here's what Jesus says. When you know, and again, when you know who you are, whose you are, and why you are, listen to what Jesus says in verse 33. Sell your possessions. Man, we look at that and go, wait a minute, what? I got to sell my favorite gun? Justin, I got to sell my favorite shoes? Raphael, got to sell my best running shoe? What are you talking about? Let me get there. He says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. You know what? Talking about our running shoes, right? Somebody asked me the other day about the shoes I had on at my race, okay? So I had on these bright orange shoes. I know some of you saw them. And they're called Alpha Fly 3s. They're my favorite marathon shoes. Here's the thing. You know how long those things last? You know how many miles I can get out of those? A little over 100, maybe. A little over 100. Those shoes are expensive, okay? I pay more than a dollar a mile, I'll tell you that, okay? They wear out. They're here today, and they're gone tomorrow. And the stuff that we are accumulating, it's all like that. How long do the tires last on your car? Not long enough. You thinking the same thing? Not long enough, right? I hate buying tires. These things are expensive, man. As much as we pay for them, we should get 100,000 miles out of those. We should get 200,000. We should never have to buy tires for the car that we paid $35,000 for. But guess what? I go through three sets of tires before I can get another car. Maybe four. And so Jesus said, sell your possessions, give to the poor, provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. Here's what he says. a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. These are powerful words. Now, I want to go back to the command, right? Because Jesus gave us one command already. Do not worry. Well, guess what? Do not be afraid is also a command of Jesus. It is not a suggestion. It is not an opinion. So if you choose to live in fear, if you choose to be afraid day after day after day, here's what you're doing. You're breaking the command of Jesus Christ. No amens. That's fine. I don't care if you agree with me or not. I don't care if you agree with me or not. Jesus said, do not be afraid. That is a command. I teach English. I know the grammar. That is not a suggestion. It's not a statement of fact. It is a command. He said, do not be afraid. And so when we live in fear, when we live afraid of what will happen to us, what people will think about us, then we are disobeying the command of Jesus Christ. And here's what Jesus said in the Gospel of John. If you truly love me, then you will obey my commands. So how dare me stand up here and wave my flag? I love Jesus, but live Monday through Saturday in fear of what will happen to me, in fear of what the doctors might say, in fear of whether I will get to pay that bill or not, in fear of what somebody will say about me on Facebook, in fear of I didn't get 10 likes today. I need at least 10 to feel good about myself. We constantly live in fear and we constantly disobey the command of Jesus Christ. But we sure tell people, oh, I love Jesus. I mean, we get the shirts from Equipped. Chelsea didn't pay me to say that. We wear the pretty shirts. Me and Marty went to a place yesterday and there was pretty shirts, kindness, fruit of the Spirit. It's beautiful. And we put those things on, parade them in the street, and then we go home and we bite our fingernails off. But everybody saw me in the pretty shirt. But they don't see me staying up at night wondering what's going to happen to me tomorrow. Maybe that's why Jesus said, you have little faith. Maybe that's why in this passage Jesus said, my little flock. Do not be afraid. You know why Jesus can say that? Because Jesus has overcome. Again, I'm not making this up. John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verses 32 and 33. Jesus has overcome. And he says, you can count on me. Because I have overcome, I have peace for you. See, Jesus can give us peace. And listen to me, peace doesn't mean our problems are going to go away. Peace doesn't mean that the challenges won't come. Peace means we'll know who he is and who we are in him. In the midst of those challenges, in the midst of those problems. And we can walk in trust and confidence instead of worry and fear. And I don't know about you, but that's what I want. That's what I want, because if I'm walking in trust and confidence, then I'm walking in the glory of God. And I'm walking in such a way that somebody else goes, man, how can he be that way? How can he act like that? How can he talk like that? I'll tell you how. Jesus Christ in me. That's how. Because I'm just like you. I don't know where the money's going to come from next week. I don't know what the doctor's going to say to me. But I know who I am in Christ. And so whether I got that money or whether I get a bad report or not, I'm a child of God, and that is who I am. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Go look at that. I love just throwing scriptures at you, but making you work to go get them. Sometimes I'll give you the exact scripture. Sometimes I just make you go look. Here's what we need, and I'm going to say it again. We need to set our hearts on the kingdom of God. We are so worldly with our eyes. So worldly with our hearts, so worldly with our minds. Jesus said God was pleased to give us the kingdom. He was pleased to give us the kingdom. He was pleased to give us something more than this world could ever give you. He was pleased to give you something that is best. There's nothing better But man, we chase the stuff in this life like there is something better. And then we don't get it. And so guess what happens? We start to worry. And we start to be fearful. Not only that, we start to compare. Oh, Lord. Facebook. Instagram. Well, he got to go on vacation. I wish I could go on vacation. Well, he got a new truck. I wish I had a new truck. She got this. Wish I got this. And guess what? We start chasing things, don't we? And we start trying to build the kingdom of me instead of living in and embracing and enjoying the kingdom of God. And then we wonder why our stress levels are out the roof. We wonder why we can't sleep at night. We wonder why we can't enjoy, right? We can't enjoy the things that we do have. How many of you are blessed in this place today? You're blessed. All right, pretty much every hand went up. How many of you every day just say, God, thank you for that? Good. So about half of you. So the other half, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. Here's the thing. Jesus said, whatever you treasure in this life, that's what's got your heart. That's what's got your heart. So if you're chasing after the cars, you're chasing after the vacations, you're chasing after the running shoes, right? You're chasing after whatever you're chasing after, whatever you treasure, whatever you're willing to spend your time and your money and your pursuit on, then that's what's got you. That's what's got you. Isn't that why Solomon said in Proverbs 4, 23, above all else, guard your heart because everything you do flows from it. You think that's a coincidence? That the second wisest man that's ever lived is pretty much saying the same thing that the wisest man that ever lived? You better take care of your heart, because where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. So here's the thing. Are you treasuring the stuff of this world? Or are you treasuring the kingdom of God? Because I'm going to tell you, the stuff of this world is going to wear out. It's going to spoil. It's going to fade. It's going to be stolen. It's going to burn up. But the stuff of the kingdom of God will last forever. And that's what Jesus is talking about. And that's how we ought to be marked as Christ followers. We ought to be marked by trust and confidence in God. That ought to be the defining marks of our lives. When people see us, they ought to say, that girl, that boy, trust God. That man, that woman is confident in his or her God. I hope that's what people can say about me. So here's the choice, right? Will we choose to walk with God in trust and confidence every day? Even though we don't know what comes tomorrow. Even though we don't have the report from the doctor in our hands yet. Even though we hadn't got the bill yet in the mail. Will we walk today in trust and confidence in God that he's got us no matter what? That's a choice we get to make. I'm just telling you, you're going to walk out of here and you're going to choose today fear and worry, or you're going to choose trust and confidence. It's your choice. Will we let go? That's the follow-up question, the final question. Will we let go of the worry? Will we let go of the fear? And will we shine our light for Jesus? Because what I have found is that when I'm trying to shine the light of Jeff, that's when I'm filled with the most worry and the most fear. When I'm trying to shine the light of Jesus, worry and fear ain't two words that come to mind. Bold. Bold. Powerful. Peaceful. Those are words that come to my mind when I'm talking about Jesus. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, you're always ready to talk about Jesus. Well, don't give me too much credit, okay? Because I can be caught off guard too. And I can be surprised too. And guess what? Sometimes my answer is, I don't know. Matter of fact, many times my answer is, I don't know. But my answer will always be, God's in control. God's in control. Even when I don't know, God's in control. Even when I don't understand, God does. And I'm his child, so I'm just going to get underneath the wings of God. Will we choose each day to live in the power of Jesus Christ or in the quote-unquote power we think we have? Will we choose each day to live in the peace of Jesus Christ, or will we choose to live in the chaos of self? I don't know about you, but I would rather live with peace and power than to live with worry and fear. Amen? Amen. Jesus has given it to you. He's given it to you. It's a free gift. All you got to do is believe it. All you got to do is take it. You can walk out of here different than the way you walked in. But it'll be your choice.